Good afternoon. It's a Thursday afternoon. Oh, tomorrow is Friday. Yay! You think, boy, you know, you think our boss is listening?
Yeah. Well, he obviously is.
Oh, man.
Now, why did you celebrate that tomorrow's a Friday? We know it. It's time. It's known as time, Helmut.
You know, I think it was sometimes late last year. I find out that our boss likes what I like to call white people activities. Which like, is, you know,
what,
diving.
But he likes doing it.
He likes scuba diving. I was like, hang on a second.
So now we're here on air gossiping about our boss.
No, I make fun of him all the time.
And so now you're dragging me into this.
I make fun of him. Look, okay, you know, yeah. I don't want to spill a lot of beans.
Well, it seems like the beans has been like an automatic inclusion. You know when a trawler throws its net.
Okay, first of all.
Yeah.
If you wanna, you know, if you just want to understand, you know, like, how much he likes jokes, you have to understand that he has been paying a short Kavango comedian for about 3 years now to just sit here.
Yeah, he's paying you that money. He's not paying Dwight that money. Yeah,
to sit here and make fun of him and everyone.
No, Helmut, you've got your exoneration. I haven't seen mine.
Dwight, on the other hand, is he's being paid for what he's good at, fact-checking. Yeah. Some of us just read through and start telling you that, well, we saw the president, landing a plane in North Korea without double-checking that maybe it could be, you know, what, like AI-generated.
Yeah.
We'll just watch a video of Netumbo's plane Netumbo landing in Pyongyang in North Korea. We'll be like, hang on a second, the president is in North Korea until, you know, guys like you now comes in and start going, you know, She's not really there. She's not.
The downside is that actually, Helmut, it'll raise a lot more eyebrows if that thing ever happens.
Yeah. So you're telling me now I'm giving people advice. Ideas.
Yes. You technically did just now.
Oh, man.
So it'll actually raise eyebrows from us, the media, if we see on the, because the presidency does announce where the president goes to.
Yeah.
Just before the president actually departs.
Okay, now just repeat that part. The president does what?
The presidency announces.
Not the president, the presidency is in the office of the president.
Yes.
Okay.
They announce where the president goes to. Like today, the president left at 3 to depart for Angola. So we do know where the president goes. It's not state secret. But it is public information because it's a public official.
Let's put it in a way that you are given the information that you need to know. And the rest, like travel plans and, you know, and everything. Those are obviously
hidden for security purposes. Like knowing which hotel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the week that I stumbled upon the security detail, the advanced security detail of Jill Biden.
Oh.
So what happens? Remember last year? Was it last? No, it wasn't last year. The year before, 2023. Jill Biden came to the United States.
Came to Namibia.
Aye, Namibia, yeah, sorry. Good one. Came to Namibia. Husband went to Angola, yes. Yeah. So Jill Biden came here to Namibia. Now, I went for an event for a conference at the Hilton Hotel. Mm-hmm. So, if people don't know, sometimes you've got to park in the underground parkings at that complex where the hotel stands with the other hotels and the other particular infrastructure that's built there because they've got those underground parkings.
Yeah.
So I parked there and I know the route to walk to. And that's before they did the other shenanigans in terms of putting up those dividing particular fake walls and stuff and all that, which now changed your way you can park. But before then, there was still an aspect of that parking that was open that you could try and park closer to the hotel in that underground parking. You could park closer. But then they had put up like this construction divider. Now, when they put up that construction divider, which is like a cardboard dividing box, you obviously can't see, but there was a door that you can walk through. So I knew the whole, you know, the routine to go through. Park there, walk through that door, and then there are these American branded cars standing, American, they are not sold in Southern Africa.
Escalade. You can't hide that thing.
Yeah, that Escalade, but it's that specific newer version. It's a newer models. Because they stand out there so big. And
plus, how many escalators have you seen in Windhoek?
Very few, bro. Not even the Angolans drive that car anymore, because the Angolans are driving what has been standardized in the Namibian, in the Southern African, vehicle market.
Yeah.
So the Angolans are now driving your everyday Hyundai, and they're driving your
Land Cruisers,
which are, it's only the other Angolans that I still know of that buy the directly imported American cars.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that they're abnormally big on the road,
yeah.
And they're pretty, they take up pretty large spaces.
I think I've seen one or two H3s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even those H3s, because yeah. Hummers are, because at that stage before General Motors pulled out of South Africa, during Zuma's presidency, the General Motors were the guys that they assembled the Hummer.
In South Africa.
In South Africa. Okay. For the South African market. So you could buy the Hummer, but if you're buying the latest editions, you can only go to Angola to buy that thing. So I walk through the store and I see these three guys sitting on chairs. They're all dressed the same, same haircuts even. And they all went silent the moment that when I closed the door and I turned around.
That's a lot.
We were all looking at each other. And they were looking at me. I was like, okay, what's with this awkwardness? I just said, okay, hi guys. They still sat there looking at me. I went into the lift and I went up to the conference, came back down, but I went the other way around. Literally, I literally walked around because I didn't know if I could still access,
the same exit
to my car in the parking lot. So yeah, I mean, I have seen these particular oddities. I mean, Helmut, I can write a book about these oddities pre-conferences. Sorry for that, guys, if you heard that. Pee too loud,
uh-huh.
But pre-conferences and pre-events, and you sometimes just notice these oddities taking place, for example. Like the one time that I accidentally, I tried introducing myself, né, to a protocol official. Now, protocol guys are literally like security.
Yeah.
For, international, the Ministry of International. Tried introducing myself, cause it was a new guy and a new face. The guy was just standing, but he was staring at us, the jealous, pretty weird. And I was like, hi dude, I'm Dwight from Eagle FM. And he looked at my hand like five times, my hand, my face. But then his eyes also jump here, left, right, and center to his supervisors in terms of seeing. And then he reluctantly stuck out his hand.
You put a guy in an awkward position.
I really put a guy, no, cause my hand was hanging. I was like, don't keep me hanging. Don't keep me hanging. But yeah.
And you are new, man. That's the worst thing.
Yeah. So what my Eagle FM colleagues don't know, dear listeners, is that it's not tomfoolery. It's not full on tomfoolery, but it's like these awkward things that happen. Events. If you see Dwight, then Dwight does some awkward things, but it's just, you know, like everyday people's interactions and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. So nonetheless, we've digressed greatly, dear listeners, because Dwight was obviously telling stories that had nothing to do with our gold standard discussion or gold reserve discussion. But anyway, it is golden.
It is golden.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, you know, that guy is never forgetting you, that's for sure.
No, but he's
you
not.
Know what? When I started my service, you know, there's this guy that, you know, that extended his hand to greet me, and I didn't know what to do, whether I was allowed to do so. I looked at my supervisor and looked at this guy. I ended up to be, you know, I decided to be friendly and shake.
He didn't even smile, bro. The guy was not friendly, but it was uncomfortable because my hand was hanging there.
Oh man, Secret Service, my behind.
No, but they all know me. They all know, all the Secret Service people, they know about us, journalists. I mean, because the head of protocol, Ambassador, I keep forgetting. Ambassador, he told me once, cause he also likes making jokes. He was like, Dwight, I know who you are. I said, okay, thanks, Ambassador, but you've never spoken to me. Because one day he just decided, you know, come and shake hands with all the media. It was the start of the new year in last year. And then he went like, Ambassador, you never do this. He says, Dwight, but I know who you are. I said, no, Ambassador, you don't know it. Cause it seems like it's the first time you're shaking hands. He says, Dwight, I know who you are. He said, okay, thank you. So yeah, they know all about us. I mean, there's nothing we can do, Hamlet. As the media specifically.
And also I think it's a good thing to, you know, to know who's who. So, you know, who's, who to, you know, how much to share.
It's not actually that, but that's not the, that's not the aspect that we are dealing in, because we are in the realm of sharing as much information as possible.
Oh no, you have not seen Yes Minister, the British agency.
No, I have.
Oh no, you should watch.
Have you watched? No, I can't use that one on there.
No, it's all about, you know, as a politician, what you can share and what you cannot share.
No, but you have to understand, in the British media, Helmut, the British media, they are literally an enemy to the British society. They are literally an enemy to the British society. The South African media try to emulate what the British do.
Mm-hmm.
The British are not a standard to follow. And I know the Zimbabwean media are emulating what the British media also do. And when I say that, go and ask yourselves, dear listeners, why in South Africa and in Zimbabwe and in the UK you see the same thing happening. The government not trusting the media. Here in Namibia, the Ministry of Information is the first one. Even the presidency, even the two previous presidents, even today's president and the two previous presidents, they were like, yes, press freedom is a must. World press freedom is a must in Namibia. We uphold this. We support local media. Go to those other countries that I just mentioned. Just go see if you will find a statement from their Ministry of Information.
That's where you keep hearing, you know.
In most cases, in Zimbabwe, you hear of journalists that are incarcerated or thrown in jail. The same too in South Africa. It's either the journalists are either beaten up or harassed, or you know, they use the economic purposes in terms of maligning the media landscape in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens in the UK as well. So, in the UK, the media is actually used to actually divide the country, which has led to Brexit. Their media actively contributed to Brexit.
No kidding.
Yes, Rupert Murdoch actively contributed to British economic downfall. That's what people don't realize in terms of how powerful the media is. So, in a Namibian context, we're actually playing a positive game.
In terms of information
And positive change.
Especially transparency, in a way.
And positive change, yeah. Because we're also providing positive change, because there's so many Namibians. Yes, they can read. Yes, they can write. But in terms of idea sharing, information sharing, being the basis in terms of literally being the knowledge base for the country. Look at what we're doing, Helmut. I mean, I can spend this whole hour and a half literally, flying our flag high here as Eagle FM. But that would be just Dwight being too corny. I don't like bragging. I'm a good Catholic. Us Catholics, we don't brag, even though I don't practice Catholicism.
I'm going to be making fun of you guys and your current ongoing election tomorrow morning.
Well, but have you heard the scandals? From the Kenyans, from us Africans.
Really?
So
share with me those things so I can have enough, you know, petrol and firewood for tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Now let's talk about gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently it has been made public by our central bank that Namibia is is looking to start stockpiling gold. And I decided to go on the Gold World Council, World Gold Council, which is it's an international trade association for gold, you know, for the gold industry.
Yeah. And much of that information, it said that Helmut is such a good resource. You should read that resource, bro.
Yeah.
But we actually have to start from point A of this discussion.
Okay, so you start with point A before I give you point B.
Yeah. So, dear listeners, in yesterday's edition of the Village E-Paper, we had a story specifically where the central bank governor, Governor Johannes Kavahap, has announced and has indicated that Namibia will now also start collecting developing a gold reserve.
Yeah.
Now, a question popped up that was shared, obviously, here internally with us, in terms of what does this gold reserve have to do with Namibia's peg to the South African rand? First and foremost, let me answer that question today. Absolutely nothing. However, it does actually help Namibia in weathering global financial storms. Why? There was that nice resource that you shared with me, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana started doing it since 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
The South Africans have had a gold reserve since eons, forever. Since forever. And South Africa is actually they're not in the top 10 even though they are one of the world's largest gold producers. Because if you're asking the question, what does gold mining have to do with a gold reserve? Absolutely nothing. Let me say that again, categorically. Gold mining has nothing to do with a gold reserve.
So is this like some kind of an example like you'd say lithium has nothing to do with a lithium ion battery?
No, Helmut, because there I can point to you that the lithium ion battery leads the lithium in the mine or in the mountain leads to the battery's manufacturing. You can trace the whole value chain in terms of shipping, transportation,
from the mining to the lithium battery.
It's the same thing that you can do with Namibia's beef or Namibia's red meat. You can trace it from farm to the shop, wherever. The discussion with gold has been a notion of historically what everyone has to understand by the Second World War. The world before World War II was greatly dependent upon how much gold each country owns.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I say gold mining has nothing to do with your gold reserve and your central bank, it has a loose connection. Because the loose connection is based upon that this gold has to enter the global gold market, but then central banks buy
from the gold market.
Yes.
And for them to stockpile.
To stockpile.
So they cannot directly mine it and then refine it and then stockpile it.
No. That's example also why I shared the World Gold Council resource, because I was really shocked, because I found the World Gold Council is sort of like this official tabulating and information hub about gold.
Everything gold, even
in the world. And mind you, the IMF also has a gold reserve. Guess where that reserve sits?
Fort Knox?
No. Yeah, yes, but no. Most of them actually sit, and the belief has been that there's nothing in Fort Knox.
It's one of those things.
It's one of those mysteries that will always stay a mystery.
Stay a mystery, because it's not like, well, there's a reason why Fort Knox is an expression for tight security.
Yeah, but do you know what, where Fort Knox sits?
The US?
Of course it's in the US. Uh-huh. Okay, Helmut. Let me be serious. Serious face on. Yes, Helmut, it is in the US.
I'm so glad it's rubbing off, but go on.
It is in the US. But here is the question.
Yeah.
You have to ask the question with a aspect of curiosity in terms of Dwight, is it not in the US? I would have said still yes.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, Fort Knox actually sits in the middle of a Native American reservation. Now, if you don't know what a reservation is, now the reservation, and I'm going to be slightly now causing a little bit of a furor and a little bit of an outrage, but the American reservation system is literally the same system that the South Africans tried to use under the Group Areas Act by creating the Bantustans. Remember I told you about the story?
Yeah.
But the American reservation system, the Native American reservation systems are based upon treaties that the American government still has in action today. And America is actually the best template for paying reparations money. Do you know that?
In what way?
Those guys they get money every year from the American government. All those Native American councils and groups.
Yeah.
They all get money, Helmut. They don't have to. You should see the America's richest Native American reservation, the Sinaloa from Florida. They don't need to work, brah. And literally, if people are asking questions and templates for, like, with the genocide discussion in Namibia.
And Israel keeps popping up.
No! You can throw the example, the template of it. You can take parts of the template of Israel. You can take parts of the template of Israel. But when you look to what the Americans have had to do.
Yeah.
And this is where people sometimes don't understand why you find this is the conundrum of two worlds. Remember that during much of this, the civil rights movement in America was championed by black Americans. Mm-hmm. But then the American government, since the 1800s, had treaties with the Native American Indians. And they had been paying money to these Indians, primarily because of colonialization.
And also, you said primarily, so secondarily, they are still sitting on their land.
And they're still on their land. And they don't have to work. But okay, I was digressing. So.
Gold.
Staying on the gold discussion.
Yeah.
Fort Knox is, Fort Knox sits in the middle of a Native American reservation. So technically, it would be like you traveling through one sovereign country to get to another country's territory.
Eesh.
Hence the reason why Fort Knox has that heightened security discussion. Yeah. But the largest collection of gold in the world actually sits in New York City. It actually sits in the Federal Reserve of the United States of America. Now, the world's large, but then hence the reason why America has the world's largest collection of, collection of gold, in tonnage. America sits with the largest one.
Yeah.
However, there have been discussions why people have asked continuously, like this question has popped up through our colleague, Kanjengo, because he passed on this particular question. What does the peg to South Africa have to do with this gold reserve? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because the moment you peg the value of your currency to that gold, our currency will spike in value.
To the point where?
No, not to the point. The downside is, who will buy? Who will sell to us? We will literally become the Netherlands.
So you're sitting with
It's another reverse Dutch curse discussion.
Yeah.
Because the question people will ask you, and this is what happened to the Dutch. They discovered the oil and gas.
Yeah.
But then they pegged their currency to oil and gas.
Yeah.
Then the currency became too valuable, too expensive, which is literally the scenario with.
Which made it easy for them to buy, but not for them to export.
You can't, and that's the scenario also in the discussion of the tariffs, why I keep referencing Lesotho.
Yeah.
And the US. Lesotho can only sell raw diamonds and red meat products to America, but an average Lesothian cannot afford an American price-tagged car coming from there, which has all the value addition on it. They can't afford that car.
Nope.
Helmut, do you know how much is $30,000?
Multiply by 20?
Yes. $600,000. But yeah,
you know, we'll take a quick commercial break and we'll continue on the other side. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
Paratus. Listen to Eagle FM. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, you're listening to a Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're here until the hour of six as always. So, which is why we like to, we pride ourselves as your drive time show. So, today's discussion, as Dwight, he just pointed out that, the Namibian Central Bank has made it public that it has plans that is only awaiting execution, which is the plans of beginning our own, starting our own central bank. So not central bank, gold reserve. Now, a lot of countries that have gold reserves is mostly developed countries, and a lot of developing countries only came to, only started stockpiling gold, or started implementing the whole idea of gold reserve back in, from 2008. And for those of you that have been following the economic up and downs, then you know that 2008, 2009 was not a very good time to be in business, or basically to take interest in the economic world, because it was very painful to watch entire facilities, or more like institutions that been operating for for decades closing down. And one of those American banking giant that went down under with that economic fallout or economic crisis of 2008 was the Lehman Brothers. Now, that's where which would be a good place to start. So before you start thinking that Namibia is the first, is the first one to start, to initiate the whole idea, or to come up with the idea of, of implementing or starting the, starting our own central, gold reserve, then you will be, please be informed that we are not the first one. This is a common practice, and according to Forbes, which according to them got the statistics from the World Gold Council, in terms of ranking, they listed these are 2024 numbers. These are 2024 numbers basically, from 2000 to 2004, they listed a list of countries that have gold reserve, and gold reserve that they have in how many tons of it, and the region in terms of global landmass where the where the country or the continent is located, and the U.S. comes out on top, comes out on top. That is with having 8,133.46 tons.
Huh? Yeah, that's 8,000 elephants.
In gold.
8,400 elephants. That's always how you should always think when you hear the word tons.
Tons.
It's 8,400 elephants.
Thank you for making it very simple. Up next is,
I don't know how much does 8,000 elephants look like.
Me neither. And I don't want to come across, I don't want to run into 8,000
elephants. A stampede of 8,000 elephants.
I don't want to run into one, let alone 8,000 from. And then up next, I thought it would be either France or Russia. It turns out it's Germany. And Germany, you have Italy, France, that's when comes Russia, China, and Japan. And then you have India, the Netherlands, Turkey, Portugal, Poland, Azerbaijan, UK, Kazakhstan, Spain, Austria, Thailand, Singapore, and Belgium. Now, I went through that list because of what Dwight just said, that because for a very long time I've been looking at gold reserves, and I thought I've been linking gold reserves with gold mines, because every time I look up top 10 countries with gold reserves, one thing that I see is that there's not a single African country on the top 10 list. But when it comes to to countries with gold mines, well, a lot of African countries appear on that list. So the question that I have been asking myself for very long, you know, for a very long time is, how do you explain a country having multiple gold mines but not a single gold reserve?
And that is where, for example, Helmut, firstly, the list in its own right, has at least South Africa, there's South Africa, Libya has a gold reserve. Yes, Libya, that's technically not supposed to
be. Has or had?
Has. It's here. These are updated statistics from the World Gold Council.
They still have gold in that chaos?
Yep.
A bunch of warlords haven't sold it yet?
Nope.
Really?
So Egypt has more than South Africa. South Africa. Yeah, so it's Libya in the top 20. At position 28, 30, and 32 in the world of the countries with the most gold reserves, mm-hmm. you find Libya, Egypt, and South Africa. But if you had to look at the reverse, largest gold producers in the world, you'll definitely find South Africa there because, South Africa is one of the world's largest gold producers,
yeah.
of gold. I mean, or, you know, their mining complex. So, okay. Well, technically it's still Russia, China, Australia, and Canada, but you'll still find South Africa there because South Africa is one of the world's largest platinum deposits as well. Now, if you don't know what platinum is a mixture of, how they call it, the white gold, specifically in the notion in terms of, you know, what it highlights.
Mm-hmm.
But South Africa is in the top 10, in terms of production, per tonnage, meanings. And Helmut, I'm not talking about people are picking up a big gold stone like this, no, or a brick, no. It's small things, bruh. It looks like a shaving. It literally looks like shavings. That's gold.
So all those earth moving machines that are in operation in a gold mine.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
Shavings. Such small stones. Such small things. Remember those illegal miners that were stuck in Mpumalanga?
Yeah.
In one of the abandoned mining shafts in Mpumalanga in South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were illegal gold miners. That was formerly a sanctioned gold mine under South African mining law.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sanctioned gold mine. Most of those guys are Mozambican and Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
And there was another country.
There were some Tanzanians there.
Tanzanians there as well. Most of them are illegal immigrants in a South African context.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the politician tells me. We are in a modern world now with borders. If you're not from a country, you're not from that country. Most of those guys were illegal immigrants who were participating in illegal resource extraction,
yeah.
which was not benefiting local South Africans.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you argue that particular point in South African context, that South Africa's issue is not Dwight's issue. It's not Eagle FM's issue.
It's not a Namibian issue.
It's a South African issue.
Yeah.
Here's the concern, Helmut, that emanates from that. So those guys will be selling to gold smugglers or resource smugglers. Once again, hence the reason why I made the statement a little bit earlier, gold mining has nothing to do with your gold reserve in the modern day economic system.
You see, now that's the part that you must really dive in the, you know, kindergarten language.
Well, here is where it was connected to your gold mining was connected to your gold reserve.
Mm.
But your gold reserve, and remember, reserve can take three uses. The old use, the historical use of being
storage.
No. Look, the storage is automatic.
Mm-hmm.
The old use was gold standard. Your money in circulation
or backing it up with
is tied to how much gold you have. Your money is tied to how much gold you have. The second scenario is that gold is used as a trading element in terms of backing up your ability to commit to to stay committed to your trading obligations as a country.
Like collateral or something?
In a way, yes. But remember, the gold moves nowhere.
Yeah.
That's one of the explainers that I got from a, from also another particular documentary on YouTube, where the guy was talking about what is up with gold reserves. The gold reserves move nowhere. Actually, in most cases, even the guys that argue with each other, mm-hmm. the United States and Russia, Russia sends gold to the United States. And the US sends gold to Russia. But they don't send it like a plane transporting the gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just a computer number. They just, it's just ledger management. A gold bar was deducted here to be placed there. That's it. The gold moves nowhere.
So we're basically playing house.
No, it's basically inventory management, not house. House is more fun. It's more rudimentary, Hamoud. Because house is about, you need a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. But when you are playing inventory management, you're talking about they are administrators. You don't know who they are, but these administrators manage gold reserves. So first and foremost, don't think about gold as decoration.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about it as...
Yeah, at this point, it's beginning to look like that.
Yeah, but that's the question that I saw from Kanjengo. And I know what the question was alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
What does the gold have to do with your currency peg to South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Well, firstly, Helmut, if the South Africans unleashed their gold their economy, we literally could have then just said that day that they do it, okay, let's just rather be colonized again by South Africa. Because there was no way we could afford anything from South Africa. Our shelves would have been empty in the shops in the first week of doing when they do that.
Yeah.
Because we won't be able to afford because
the rent will be so high in value for us to get anything from there.
You won't be able to buy anything from South Africa. We would have capitulated in the first week as a nation.
And looking at the you know the World Gold Council statistics, so with regards to which country has the highest gold reserve in tonnage.
Yeah.
So then that means that products coming out of China, Russia, and the US would be the most expensive because they have the largest number of gold.
But here's the thing: how is it that the number?
So that would complicate trading.
But how is it that 100 Namibian dollars is equivalent to 1,000 Russian ruble?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
But in gold reserve, they have more gold than us. So if we woke up the next day and every currency was backed by solid gold.
Yeah.
Then the opposite would happen. Like 1 ruble would be more than, if not over 1,000 Namibian dollars.
Yeah. It would have been unaffordable.
Hang on a second.
Life would be unaffordable, but...
So this is where you start saying that we now owe the Bretton Woods institutions an apology.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Who owes them?
Okay, what brought an end to the gold, to the gold standard in terms of backing up currency?
The Americans convinced the whole world to stop using gold, but before we continue, we've got an ad break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Uli mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station na weyo Eagle FM. Enya mkulo olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And one thing I've learned so far from this whole gold reserve discussion is that we have quite a few things to thank the Americans for. They may not be able to find Lesotho on the map, but they came up with a trading strategy that replaced the gold standard, which have some flexibility in the way that we conduct commerce.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that we have to be thankful for the Americans historically.
Yeah.
They removed the gold standard twice. Firstly, during their Civil War, the American Civil War of the 1860s.
Yeah.
They had to move away from the gold and silver standard. And then obviously after the Second World War, they also had to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does this imply? Hence the reason why I told people, do not think of the B2 gold mines in factoring in that mine must now feed the gold reserve that the Bank of Namibia now is going to venture into. Don't ever think like that. They are two totally different things. Hence the reason why you don't say gold mining is related to your gold reserve. Prior to the World War II, 1939, it was like that. The governments of the day quickly could say, for example, like, what's his name? Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. No, not Theodore Roosevelt. Franklin. He's the grandson. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt is his name.
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt brought in an act, Helmut, that literally said all Americans must not own gold at home. It was literally an act that compelled any American that sat with gold at home to be immediately criminal. The same thing that Namibia has done, that no Namibian must own a diamond. Only the diamond in your diamond ring through a legit supply and distribution channels that
and
you can acquire that diamond.
Your wonderful, loving husband.
Who's going to buy that diamond ring? So hence the reason.
I said to go there.
No, because you as a Namibian helmet, you can't pick up a diamond. Sorry. You can't pick up a diamond out there in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. It belongs to the Republic of Namibia.
Yeah, but if there's weed in the backyard, that's yours. It's not for the Republic. Okay, but anyway.
Why are you bringing another
nothing
concept?
Nothing gone.
So.
Thanks.
When it came to the gold discussion in the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt realized that the American economy cannot be tied to, well, actually he and his administration, not him entirely. Him and his administration realized that the gold standard is a crippling standard to be based upon. So what had happened? So do remember, dear listeners, I mentioned that the Americans twice had to remove the gold standard. Firstly, in the American Civil War, where literally they had to introduce an act. That's how easy it is. They introduced a piece of paper that says you can now place value on a piece of paper, whereby the soldiers in the American Civil War can be now paid with something that is now a medium of exchange for goods and services for the something. Now, it was the first instance of a fiat currency that was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what a fiat currency is, please read it up, dear listeners. That is what the Namibian dollar is. Hence the reason why your value of your economy is tied, the amount of money in your economy and the value of your Namibian dollar is tied to how much you and I are producing in the economy. That is the single most important economic fundamental thought that you've got to think about. Hence the reason why we keep seeing Namibia needs to have more factories, not more gold. Let's remember that, guys. Namibia needs more factories to create more value, not just a rock.
Okay, let me point out one of the reasons why I thought that, there was a close, there was a straight up close tie between gold reserves and gold mines.
Mm.
Now, according to, this is the link that I sent you. The why emerging markets are stocking up on gold. This is coming from the Atlantic Council, which is an American think tank. Now, this article came out in April of last year. That, the article reads, that Ghanaian Vice President, last October, Ghanaian Ghanaian vice president. This is from 2023. Put that in mind.
Yeah.
Last October, Ghanaian vice president Mahamadou Bawumia announced that his country would seek to purchase oil with gold instead of US dollars. In support of this policy, Ghana Central Bank expanded its gold reserve for the for the first time since 1961. And the government plans to further boost the reserves by requiring mine companies to sell 20% of their refined gold stock to the bank that year.
Now that has been defined in that Ghanaian context.
Yeah.
And Ghana is even in a higher ranking position than South Africa in gold production.
It's actually, well, it's literally called the Gold Coast.
It's called the Gold Coast.
For a reason.
Minus the Gold Coast from Australia, please, guys.
No, that's a different
one. Yeah, that one is just a surface heaven in Australia. The Gold Coast in Ghana or in Africa historically relates to the gold that they discovered there, or the Europeans discovered. Because the Africans already had gold. They just didn't, think of it in the same way. But anyway.
They were just, we had different uses for it. Like,
yeah. Like shiny things.
Yeah.
That with the bronze, with the Benin bronzes as well.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting take, Helmut. There in that discussion from the Atlantic Council, they highlight specifically the supply chain.
Yeah.
The value, not the value. The Central Bank of Ghana is willing to place value in the local Ghanaian mining sector by buying directly from refinement.
Yeah.
If you look at that in a Namibian context, do we have refinement capabilities here? We've only got one refinement spot in Tsumeb. If we had more of these refinement aspects, the value in production would have expanded. And then there would have been no need to have a gold reserve. Why? Because now you've got all those refinement installations that are just adding more value for the global economy.
Okay, so after you refine that gold, so you only sell all of it?
Or you sell the raw thing.
You still sell the raw thing.
Or you sell the semi-processed or semi-refined thing.
Okay, take for example, after your refinement, you can't stockpile some of it in your gold reserve.
But if you do like Ghana does, your central bank buys directly.
Directly, yeah.
Did we see such a plan from the Bank of Namibia's governor? No, we did not.
Give us a break, man. We're just starting. We're new.
He just announced it. But is the announcement complete? Because now a Namibian out there is asking the question, so where are we going to get the...
So where are we going to get it?
You can literally see this still in the pipeline.
Oh, look, but that's obvious. We'll get it from wherever we get pretty much everything.
But you do know what happens. But you do know what happens when you start holding gold. You become a target.
Yeah.
And
in terms of, we've all seen money heist.
It's not just money heist.
Yeah.
The largest heist happened in London. Not in London, in the UK. Actually, two.
Yeah.
A train transporting gold, and the funny thing is, I watched a TV series about this thing, about a plane that transported another country's gold from the British Central Bank to somewhere else, and it was and these bank robbers thought they were robbing a safe with money in it, but what they actually were hitting were five guards that were in transit of transporting and moving gold for one of the Arab countries. This happened in the 80s.
Ouch.
Yeah. Which shows you what countries have been doing this for 100 years.
You know what comes in my mind when you bring up, the whole heist thing? The location of our central bank. Seriously, did they really have to put it in the middle? I mean, it's literally next to a highway. So,
I mean, everyone knows where the Federal Reserve in the US is. Everyone also knows where.
Oh, well, yeah.
Everyone also knows where, the Bank of England is.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows where the European Central Bank is.
Yeah.
It looks safe to you. What you don't know is what they've done is try to get in. To get in.
No.
So, the unfortunate thing here is, Helmut,
for the meantime that you're finding your thought, I have two sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, Now, two sentences coming from again from the from the Atlantic Council that Accra, Ghana, is hardly alone in the enthusiasm for gold. Since 2008, emerging market and developing countries have more than doubled their central bank gold reserves, led by Russia, China, Turkey, and India. Do you see a BRICS pattern here?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of a BRICS pattern. man.
No, but the BRICS pattern is there. The BRICS pattern will always, the BRICS pattern will always be there because all five of those founding members of BRICS are large gold producers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brazil is in the top, is in that ranking by the World Gold Council. China, India are there.
I mean, that's South America. All civilizations that have occupied that part have made what statues out of gold.
Yeah. More like, which once again shows the picture that, to the whole world, who really sits with the resource?
Not a very good time to be a European on this one.
I mean, Canada and America, they can supplement the Western world's particular demand for gold.
Yeah.
But historically, the guys that sit with a larger contingent of the deposits in the world. And remember, Helmut, gold is actually not indigenous to this planet.
Yeah, yeah, I think you mentioned that.
I was also stumped going like, how is that possible? Just to realize that gold, before, when Earth was created, it meant that it was contributing rocks from the rest of the solar system or the rest of the universe.
So it's basically debris.
Yeah, it's an asteroid debris or another planet's debris on our planet.
So you're telling me there's a planet out there that's that could be made out of pure gold?
No, I'm telling you that this was a planet that exploded, that contributed to us.
Man, why did it have to explode? Okay, first of all, thank you very much for the explosion. But once again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for exploding, planet. I know. I hope no one was alive on that planet. But, 2008, since 2008, now the Atlantic Council again points out that, Ghana started, coming up with, with ways of purchasing, gold, of purchasing oil with gold instead of the US dollars. Now, in support of this policy, Ghana Central Bank expanded its gold reserve for the first time since 1961. It turns out emerging economies have been given this idea. More like, okay, the idea have always been there. Like you just pointed out, Dwight, that, the whole idea of a gold reserve is not something new. Mm. It's something that has been, a part of mankind for as long as we have been in existence. And after we discovered gold, obviously. But here's the thing. There's a reason why this whole, let's have a gold central, a gold reserve started popping up in 2008.
Yeah.
So, the World Gold Council points out that,
Ubuntu Beer asked Namibia to be real, and we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names, and 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Vintuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Mukongolele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apidi kwa mavcha ziva. Mwele kisema app ato
kasinja kwa mso. If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever, announces its September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation, level 4, 1 year, full-time, all campuses. Requirements are an NSSC ordinary or advanced subsidiary level or equivalent with a minimum of 20 points in 6 subjects with a minimum F symbol in English. Mature age entry, applicants must be 23 years or older with a minimum of 2 years relevant work experience in health sciences or related fields and must have obtained at least 10 points in the NSSC ordinary or higher level high school levels. Certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife, or a cashier, level 6, a 2 years full-time course offered at Windhoek, Nkurunkuru, Combat, Walvis Bay, Katima Mulilu, and Otapi. Requirements are the NSSC ordinary or advanced subsidiary levels or equivalent with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with a minimum D symbol in English, or the NSSC O/H levels or equivalent with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with a minimum E symbol in English. Applicants should have passed any of the following subjects for this particular course: biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, and development studies. Application period from 1 May to 30 June 2025.
Welcome back. It's 28 minutes left to the hour of 6. Now, the World Gold Council wrote an article in 2019 that was titled "The Gold Perspective." The Gold Perspective, 10 years after Lehman Brothers failed.
Mm-hmm.
The global financial crisis had a profound effect on markets, industries, and policymakers worldwide. It also prompted a significant and sustained shift in demand for gold, as World Gold Council Chief Market Strategist John Ried explains. So the whole thing was motivated, especially when you look at it from the perspective of developing countries, over why the sudden spike of gold reserves stockpiling from developing countries. So this, as you can imagine, is something that is very painful for developing countries, because we had little to no influence in the activities that led to the 2008 financial crisis. These are all a series of activities conducted by the private sectors halfway across the planet that ended up with the economic chaos that impacted us negatively, because a bunch of the guys that were responsible for the 2008 financial crisis were bailed out.
Exactly. And where did they get from some of that cash from? But here's the main theme, Helmut, that article highlighted. Because there was a shock in the global economic system.
Yeah.
Now,
and a lot of developing countries did not have their economic cushion from that economic blow.
We should actually have started off with that particular perspective for today's show, but we didn't actually. Why? Because obviously the announcement in itself that we now will be utilizing gold reserve to be a support mechanism in our monetary stabilization perspective.
Yeah.
That is the theme. So what you guys also need to know, the central bank governor notes mentioned that 3% of our foreign exchange reserves will be converted into gold. So it'll still be tied to our foreign exchange reserves. Why? This is another thing that also answers the peg to South Africa. It's because Namibia has to buy and sell in rand or in any other currency that the other country is demanding in payment from Namibia. That is our international trade commitments that we are obligated to stick to. It's a contractual engagement. So Helmut, if you are buying, next time importing something from wherever, the central bank has to honor that on your behalf. They are sending money on your behalf. Even though it's from your account to that account, the central bank is sending to that bank money. Your bank tells the central bank has to know, okay, this happened. This transaction happened.
Mm-hmm.
They have to honor it. That is the trade commitments thing.
Wow.
It has nothing to do with the value of your currency. It has nothing to do with the reserve has everything to do with maintaining trade commitments, because it supports the peg, but it has nothing to do with the value of the currency. Now, here's where things start becoming interesting. Remember 2 weeks back, We had the discussion about the global volatility that Donald Trump is creating, where we started off with our governor's particular discussion on the Deposit Guarantee Authority, the NGA, the DGA, Deposit Guarantee.
That, comes out of because of our own financial crisis here at home.
Exactly. And in the ability to honor what depositors had lost when a financial institution in Namibia failed. And this literally is a response to what happened with a said crisis that happened in Namibia. Now, it now indicates that from what he mentioned there, Donald Trump is creating so much uncertainty in the world that it has forced a country like Namibia to start procuring gold and to hold and accumulate a gold reserve.
Man, how bad is this guy's foreign policy? I mean, COVID-19 didn't make us do that.
Do you know what the joke? Do you know the jokes that J.D. Vance is making, Helmut?
What that?
Now, America is going to host the FIFA World Cup next year.
Oh, yeah, that.
J.D. Vance goes and makes a joke he says it even jokingly, if football fans from around the world come here next year, they could probably be deported as well at the airport. Now, you are coming here with tickets that you bought because some of the World Cup tickets are already pricing for $2,000.
I'm more worried about the AR-15s than anything else.
Helmut, you are already paying for a football match ticket that costs 40 grand. That's some of the prices that are already floating around there for tickets. Now you fly in there just to be deported after you paid all this money, just to be deported at the airport.
Is there going to be some kind of refund policy?
From who?
Because the deportation is not being done by FIFA.
By who? Who will refund you your 40 grand for that ticket?
FIFA?
Yeah. They will have to. It's their competition.
Yeah.
But if they knew about the negative impact of political policies,
mm-hmm.
and actually, this is the wonderful thing.
We
should actually do a discussion about political economy, because political economy is literally now the biggest thing that everyone is seeing is what you and I have already also highlighted is the problem in the room for development.
Yeah.
When politicians think that their policies will lead to economic prosperity, but in actual fact, it causes the opposite.
Doing the opposite, yeah.
And when there is sound economic planning around policies, it can actually lead to the particular positivity that they are seeking. Now, anyway, J.D. Vance makes that joke. Now everyone is going like, so you want the World Cup, you want to have Berlin 1936 vibes here. You remember what happened in Berlin 1936?
Yeah.
The failed Austrian painter. He didn't want to shake the hand of Jesse White. What was that man's name? Jesse?
My man. I don't know what those guys were thinking. They knew the guy's foreign policy and actually domestic.
But that's the thing was now. No one knew. Yeah. That the
Austrian painter will rise to power after they chose that as the venue?
No, not that part.
Because that's the case here.
No, but the Germans were told back then.
Yeah.
You can't disqualify another team's
mm-hmm.
athletes based on their skin color. It was the same thing that happened to the South Africans most. Yeah. While South Africa got thrown out of global sport in the 70s and 80s. South Africa was only allowed back in like 1990. South Africa,
because they had the whole segregation going on.
Yeah. So, in South Africa's case, what happened? Now, the failed Austrian painter, mm-hmm. he still allowed, athletes from different ethnicities from other countries to participate.
Yeah.
For example, the Americans sent a whole bunch of black athletes.
Yeah.
And, what's the guy's name? Jesse? Is it Jesse White? But I know his first name is Jesse. He was their best sprinter.
Yeah.
He came through.
Austrian painter was like.
Austrian painter didn't want to meet his hand because the Austrian painter was obviously all about, all about that superior racial.
Blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, Aryan race discussions that were happening supposedly there. What happened to the South Africans?
Mm-hmm.
The South Africans told the New Zealand All Black team in the 1970s they can't come to South Africa with their best Maori players. And then the All Black team went like, okay, fine, then we're not touring you anymore. Back then, they just had tours. So the tour was like a month, and your national team comes and plays in another country, mm-hmm. and they play against provincial teams, and then they play against the national team of that team, and they move with a pretty big squad. The South African Home Affairs guys thought that they could get away with this thing by telling the New Zealand All Blacks team, you can't bring any of your Maori players with. And then New Zealand went like, okay, fine, then we're not going to play against you. And then they cancelled the whole tour. Now, obviously back then in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, you have to understand rugby was predominantly just played, in the rest of the world, was predominantly just played by white people. Yeah. And when you came to Southern Africa, it was an anomaly to see, you know, people from other communities and from other ethnicities participating in the same sport. Because in the UK, rugby is thought of as a posh sport, you know, rich people sport. Mm-hmm. In Australia, in South Africa, most of the top rugby players were all, doctors, engineers, farmers, business owners, lawyers, all these things. Things that you don't see with football players. I mean, if you look at Lionel Messi, go ask Lionel Messi if he can count. Or even Cristiano Ronaldo. Go ask Cristiano Ronaldo if he can count. No, really. Even Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Go ask Zlatan, you know. Zlatan. And then Zlatan will tell you, you know, I didn't go to university because they were making ridiculous amounts of money. But anyway, that's despite
this. Well, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? But that's besides the point that my digression. So we come back, Helmut, and the gold reserve discussion is all about, being prepared for shockwaves. Governor Kavagap made this comment with that deposit guarantee authority in last month. Where he said, where you and I also highlighted it here, mm-hmm. where he said, bond sell-offs are taking place. Now, Helmut,
on a global level.
When those tariffs kicked in, the Americans did not realize that everyone would start selling American government bonds. When the sell-off started, everyone was going like, what is going on here? Now, if you don't know, dear listeners, this is actually a plan of action in place because America is going to experience a recession in this year. The fears around the world, Helmut, is to avoid another global recession caused by America because I don't want to experience another global recession. No. I've heard the nightmares in 2008, 2009. It led to the austerity in the rest of Europe. And it also led in part to austerity in the developing countries, because that meant these guys didn't have much money to invest in development programs here with us. So, the next question you've got to ask is, are we going to have a global recession?
I think that question, and I don't think there's anyone that has a definite answer to it because of, again, hence the use of,
No, the answer is there.
Yeah, well, the frequent use of the word uncertainty.
Yeah.
We don't know the direction where things could take. And I think one thing that we have learned from the difference in ways of doing things is, taking place in the U.S. from the Biden administration to the current Trump administration is that, we don't have a lot of options but to come up with gold reserves.
Yeah.
And that's for very obvious reasons. First of all, even if Trump had the best economic and foreign policies, economic, foreign, and domestic policies, right now, we have no way of telling, no one has no way of telling what's going to happen during the next election cycle.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're going to have the same rational person in office.
Yeah.
So, the way that we have seen is that democracy is beginning to bite in a way that we did not expect it to because, when we had the whole monarchies, absolute monarchies. That guy is gonna be in office until he kicks the bucket on his own. or, you know, just a few assassins came in here and there to assist, you know, like in the case of Julius Caesar. But, yep. For the most part, they were there to save for life. And then we came up with a brilliant idea. It's still brilliant. I still support it. You know, one of transitional government, one where the people are involved in the, you know, in voting for their leader, not some guy upstairs who just gave the bloodline, you know, which all the power to one bloodline and, you know, your luck depended on whether or not you were born in that family. If you are born outside, well.
Well, it still is the same thing.
Bad luck for you.
No, the new global scenario.
Yeah.
Even like in a Namibian context.
Yeah.
The best luck you can have in Namibia is
if you're born in the right family.
Is if you're born in the right, if you were born with a rich father.
Being born from a point of privilege has been an advantage.
It always will be. I mean, look at Warren Buffett. Many people don't know it. How did, you know what's the funny thing?
I was self-made millionaires. I have those stories.
Oh my goodness! And then they show up to you, they write you a self-help book. That's one of the reasons why I don't read self-helps.
Me neither.
Because you've got people that if you ask the question like a scientist, what are the contributing factors for stability in a household? Mm-hmm. They will tell you both parents or one of the parents need to have the right job or the right kind of skill set or the right kind of factors for this particular healthy picture to exist. And then from that picture, Helmut, you can start seeing the opportunities that can be achieved by the children, the offspring of this household. You know, what opportunities can they engage in? Hence also most of the reasons why they always tell you, children from single parent households have greater uphill struggles in development and even just in achieving their own particular growth. Growth, I mean, like in buying assets, having money and stuff like that. Because one parent had to do double the role or even five times the workload. I've seen it in my household. I know there's a whole bunch of Namibians listening that would have seen that in their households.
Yeah.
It makes the work for that one parent difficult. But if you had two parents, do you know how... It's a Helmut. Do you know how it just sort of like lightens the workload for the two parents?
Yeah.
But it lightens the workload in terms of what the springboard, the children can work from. Literally as a launch pad. The children just go like, boop. Hence the reason why I always talk about eliminate some burdens from the everyday Namibian. Yes, you will still have people that will have children outside of wedlock, which is now the norm globally.
Yeah.
You will still have that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's human. The discussion here is make transport cheaper, make electricity cheaper, invest in certain particular public housing schemes that allows for people that are from the low income spectrum to be able to live in something that is a walls, has windows and has a ceiling, has electricity, so they can improve their lives from there. But now if you just say, you know what, participate in the free economy that is there, you will have a bunch of rich guys that will buy up the property, sell the property at inflated prices, and then no one who doesn't have the money will be able to afford and live in houses. Hence the reason you will have informal settlements. It's so easy, the explainer. So easy, but it's not so easy.
Practically.
Yeah, the reality is scary.
Uh-huh.
Unless you do the experiment what they did in Rehoboth, and then you have chaos. This guy is a shack in his yard. That guy is a fully built house. That one is a mansion. This one is something that looks like a mud dwelling. And then, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I was digressing.
One thing we have learned from stockpiling of gold in terms of gold reserve is that, as everything else, it comes with its own advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is one that you pointed out, that you put yourself, you are basically placing a target on your back. Whatever stockpile of gold that you are going to have will also mean that you have to up your security to protect it. Otherwise, you are looking at, there are some high-level asset forfeiture department that will always be, drooling over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, obviously, this is something that have, this is something that has gained momentum. Stockpiling of gold and the whole idea of gold reserve is something that have gained momentum since 2019, since 2008 financial crisis, especially from the, you know, especially from developing countries. Because, you can imagine how, how much of a difficult, position it, it did put, nations leaders that were running developing, developing countries at the time. And, that's because there were a lot of economic, economic chaos that impacted their country that they had, little to nothing to do with. So, the whole, central bank stockpiling, gold is, I think, a way of each and every developing country's nations leaders coming up with ways of, if the global economy shakes because of some idiot that decide to, halfway across the world to give loans to people that cannot afford to pay it back.
Yeah.
And, they give it on a large scale to the point where it has, it has a negative economic fallout that, that has ripple effect that will reach me. Mm. At least I have something to fall on.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of countries, like, like the Atlantic Council just pointed out that, Ghana is just, looking into this whole idea and including changing policies and everything. They haven't done that since the 1960s.
Yep.
Now, obviously, this is, picture it, okay, I remember watching one documentary, one of those war documentaries, and one gentleman pointed out that, the most painful thing for a man is, being caught, take for example, in a concentration camp, and then, watch all his family being dragged away from him to be tortured or whatever, and there's nothing he can do.
Mm.
That's going to
Which is literally that happened in Namibia.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically happened throughout the, thanks to the British. Now, the thing is, I think the whole, gold reserve idea is a very good one.
No, it's something we should have done way back.
Yeah, like a long time ago.
Just like the same thing with the sovereign wealth fund. Yeah. We should have done that. Literally, the moment Namibia became independent, we should have had these ideas. But obviously, you can must now see, Namibia has its own particular, I'll call it blockages in planning.
Yeah. And also, well, don't worry. We went to North Korea, South Korea, before they, someone starts calling the press secretary. And
we sent people to South Korea
to South Korea
to just look at PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, to see what we can learn from South Korea.
No, we can, Helmut, because
There is a lot we can learn.
There is a lot.
But did we really have to, minus the romance? Yeah, no, those movies are exaggerating.
Well, here's the thing: you were not paying for the tickets. The tickets were paid for you.
Nah, it's still funny. But look.
But that's what you said. Remember when we did that discussion? Yeah. Okay, we didn't highlight it like that. But when we looked at that discussion in terms of that, the National Planning Commission, guys being flown to South Korea. When you and I went in on the thing, everything was a UNDP discussion. Everything was it UNDP?
Yeah,
it was UNDP. It was a UNDP thing. Everything. The whole resource, everything was UNDP, planned UNDP. And then I was like, so that's why they went there.
This meeting could have been an email.
This meeting could have been a Zoom call.
I was reading one meme that has a door open and a black goat, the animal, standing at the door. And they,
why did you think I would think you would say something?
I know, I had to clarify.
Was it? Oh.
My accent, the way that I pronounce a lot of words throws off a lot of people. Do you have any idea? We're sitting here with chicken.
Yeah.
And I was, and I kept saying, it's happening in Turkey. And he was like, okay, you mean Turkey? I'm like, oh man, seriously.
Yeah, it's one of those moments there. It's management job, management. Management.
It's management. Like, get out of here. Yeah.
So yeah.
So there was a caption of a picture of a meme of a picture of a door that's open and a goat, a black, at the entrance, and it was captioned, when you are on Duolingo learning Latin, but you keep making mistakes.
On Duolingo?
Yeah.
In Latin?
Yeah. And you keep making mistakes. The reason why it was, the reason for that is because Latin was the language that was used in a lot in an exorcism, right? So if you keep making mistakes on that app, chances are very high you'll be summoning something else. This meeting could have been an email, you know? We've got to stop doing this.
No, we really have to. But yeah, so the gold standard thing. Please, dear listeners, do not confuse the word gold reserve for gold standard, even though a gold reserve could play as a gold standard, but then it will be detrimental to our particular financial system.
Yeah, well, actually, gold reserve, brilliant idea. Gold standard, terrible idea.
Stay away from it. Which we're technically not doing.
We are
staying away from it because we won't invoke a gold standard. Mm. A gold standard will make things bad for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, the main theme here is, dear listeners, that when you look at gold, gold plays a key role in ensuring that commitments can be made by your central bank. That's it. The trust is in the money. The trust is not in the gold. One thing that Helman and I quickly discussed off air between the ad breaks was, imagine this scenario, dear listeners. Imagine if Namibia stuck to the gold standard and there's just a limited supply of gold. Now, what happens if one country decides to be nasty to us and they buy up all our gold?
Yebo.
That's why we will not have a gold standard. We're going to have a gold reserve.
No, forget the, buying is one way of looking at it. Take, for example, there's a heist and it's successful. And you lose, take for example, 50% of your gold. That means your currency automatically just along with it loses 50% of
exactly.
its value.
Of your money just went in someone else's hands. That's it.
And all of a sudden, and now you will have to restructure and readjust all your policies. You have to tell your trading partners.
You'll have to make up for the shortfalls. You'll have to go and do this. And then the IMF comes and tells you, please restructure everything because this is unsustainable. If the world's biggest economies have done this, this means it's not the good way to go. Helmut, we are not in King Solomon's times where we have to pay in gold coins or in silver coins. Even better, let me read that extract from what the Americans had to do because of the American Civil War. Because this is literally where things can go haywire, specifically in war periods.
Mm-hmm.
So the gold reserve idea, and the idea for paper money, what the Americans brought through. Historically, in that particular discussion, I'm actually on the wrong page. The wartime relevance. So during most of history, a nation's gold reserves were considered its key financial asset and a major prize of war. So when two countries went to war with each other, the one is attacking you for your gold. You are attacking me, Helmut, for my gold. There's no such thing.
There's nothing to do with democracy.
Zero, brah. It's gold. They were after your gold. Much of the conflicts in much of the romance, like the adventure stories.
Yeah.
Even with the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
What was the underlying thing?
Oh, gold.
There was gold. What was the reason why the first movie of the Pirates of the Caribbean, why Jack Sparrow and his crew of the Black Pearl, why they were cursed? Remember the first movie?
Uh-huh.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Zaventu Beer asked Namibia to be real, and we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names, and 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arno. It doesn't get more real than that. As Vintuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Welcome back. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah. So just where I left off. So during that particular scenario, so just in terms of wartime relevance, a typical view, Helmut, was expressed in the secret memorandum by the British chief of an imperial general staff in October of 1939 at the beginning of World War II, being, and this is a memo I'm reading from, and this is as the British military and the British Secret Service laid out measures to be taken in the event of an invasion of Holland and Belgium by Germany and presented them to the war cabinet at that stage. What they noted here is that it will be for the Treasury in the collaboration with the Bank of England and the Foreign Office to examine the possible means of getting the gold bullion and negotiable securities into the same place of safety. The transport of many hundreds of tons of bullion presents a difficult problem, and the loading would take a long time. The ideal would, of course, be to have the gold transferred to this country or to the United States, the gold reserves of Belgium and Holland that amount to about 70 million pounds or 110 million pounds, respectively. Footnote, His Majesty's Treasury, obviously I'm just reading it, I'm not, you know, really having allegiance to Britain, has particularly requested that this information, which is highly confidential, should in no circumstances be divulged. The total weight of this bullion amounts to about 1,800 tons, and its evacuation would be a matter of utmost importance, would present a considerable problem if it had to be undertaken in a hurry when transport facilities were disorganized. At present, this gold is believed to be stored at Brussels and The Hague, respectively, neither of which is very well placed for its rapid evacuation in an emergency. Now, what has historically also happened? Before World War I, Romania transferred gold to the Soviet Union, which the Soviet Union never returned.
So the same thing the Austrians did to, the Swiss.
Yeah.
Did to the Austrian painter.
Yeah.
After the war,
But remember that gold was confiscated under crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
This particular discussion, this memo that the British had just before World War II, just on the eve of World War II, was literally one about preserving the future financial position of Belgium and the Netherlands when, after this conflict is done, they can build from this. So you have
after
to...
the whole thing, the Soviets were like, what gold?
Yeah, for the Romanians.
Yeah, for the Romanians.
Yeah, they were like, what gold are you guys talking about? I mean, Helmut, it's always nice when you look at the referenced work, specifically in encyclopedias.
I swear.
I mean, if you read you some of the reference stories, ne?
Yeah.
How much gold, if there's a story about how much gold is there in the world, then there's the one about the Belgian gold in foreign hands, the gold at the IMF, the data template on international reserves and the foreign currency liquidity discussion. One was, where's that other reference? The Moscow gold, which are the reserves of the Bank of Spain that were sent to the Soviet Union during the Spanish Civil War. And that was literally in the 1930s, the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah.
Because the Spanish Civil War was literally, it wasn't the precursor, but it was a build-up event to the Second World War. Because Mussolini and the failed Austrian painter both experimented and supplied Franco, the Spanish dictator.
Yeah.
You also have to look at the Romanian treasure, the Romanian gold reserves that were sent alongside other valuable objects to Russia for safekeeping during World War I, but were never returned. So this has happened, this practice has happened before. The discussion just here is, how safe is the rest of the world in 2025 in these modern day periods? Remember back then, it was a pure discussion about colonialism.
Yeah.
Those guys had a lot of military power. They could just send soldiers over to you.
Storm in and then take all your
just
gold.
Go like, you know, how's it, boys? And then you're like, what take ye? And then they're speaking English and they go like, okay, seems like these boys don't understand the memo, eh? So we'll just get in there, take everything and move out. And that's what they've done. But now 2025 is all about everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And then everybody's just like, we don't trust you, brah.
Trump will be having a press conference this day, you know, tomorrow.
Because of Dwight?
Yeah, because of Dwight. There's this radio station. I don't even know where Namibia is.
You know, it's everything's going to be okay. We don't know who they are.
We'll get there.
I'm just be like,
that's Dwight.
Shut up, guys. Me. I'll not be calling you.
Yeah, until tomorrow, same time, same place, here on Eagle FM. Obviously, the time is 6 past the hour of 6. That brings us to the end of Home Run. And, there's something to pick from this is, gold standard, bad.
Gold reserve,
good.
Good idea. However, it's just a question in terms of understanding, dear listeners, will there actually be a global recession later this year?
And the, I think another question this is going to bring up is, looking at Ghana as a, you know, as an example, should I start investing into a gold refinery as a business model?
As Namibia.
As a Namibian, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, guys, stay tuned. The BES guys are here, you know, opening up a very cold door to very cold air.
Uh-huh.
Someone opened up a fridge once again, as always.
Not all of us are from Valves, guys.
Yes, please.
Get
or from a fridge,
with us on
please.
Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Olium nangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ningekuwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konora hetatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavchaziva. Uvele kisema ep atolo kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mui kole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamu vone, imba encha, niye encha farizwe, ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha, ni kuhasa nyali nzwira mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hama sfera sesfa ep ya imba, ize tatama Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening, listeners of Eagle FM. Welcome to Business and Economic segment. Welcome to Lecture 1.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.